Are you going to change before you go out?
Do I need to change?
It depends on how much you care, I guess. I assumed you wanted to make a good impression.
I think it's fun for a casual brewery double date.
Okay, if that's what you think. Wear your swastika shirt.
No.
It just feels good.
No, now people are going to hear that and think that I have a swastika shirt.
So we're both wearing striped shirts today.
Yeah. Striped shirt day.
Ooh. We didn't coordinate this. It just happened.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I gotta wrap up at like 5:05 because we gotta leave for a double date.
Sounds dumb.
All right. Well, just trying to make some friends, you know.
Yeah, I don't like that. I just, I feel like I'm being replaced, I guess.
See, if you lived in Denver, I wouldn't have to replace you.
No, so. I'm not going to live in Denver.
Okay, well then I have to make friends, because or else I'm going to be sad.
All right, well, no one's ever going to treat you as poorly as I do. Just remember that.
That's fair. Yeah.
Wow, powerful. I hadn't considered that.
All right. How was your week?
It was pretty good, actually. Chris came over a couple times. We watched some TV. This is a really good time for us because Star Trek Lower Decks is on, and Ted Lasso, and the Marvel What If show. So there's a lot of media out there that we're consuming. I don't watch very much television, but right now, you know, I've got my 2 hours of TV a week.
Yeah.
So that's been good. Yeah. And let's see what else.
I don't think I spend enough time like watching TV, but like fully watching it. Like
usually on
it's
phone.
Always like on in the background while I like fold laundry or, you know, do work or whatever. It's like it's just on. But like really just unplugging and just watching an episode of a show is really nice. Really just a treat.
I am also the same way except for these ones I watch with Chris. Because like I watch a lot of Star Trek. I've been rewatching Next Generation, but it is something that is on while like I'm cooking or maybe I'm cleaning. Cause I've seen it. I've seen every episode of Star Trek except for the original series. And like, I don't need to pay that much attention, but when I do, it is rewarding and I hardly ever watch anything new.
Right. Yeah. I've been rewatching all of Criminal Minds cause I love, you know, procedural crime shows. And that one's just fun cause the characters are all attractive and they just solve crime.
Weird that you would base your enjoyment of a show on the attractiveness of the characters.
Like watching hot people solve crime with their brains is really fun.
I don't think they're using their brains. I think it's just the script. It's scripted. It's not reality TV. That's what they need is a crime procedural that's reality TV.
That exists. It's called the First 48 or something like that.
I've never heard of it. Anyway, it's all cops like, are bastards, even the TV ones, so.
Well, these guys are the FBI. They're not the cops, so.
They're like super cops, is my understanding.
Mega cops. They're scientists. It's different.
Forensic scientists, which are cops?
No, they're psychologists.
Okay, Becca, sure.
All right. I just really love Matthew Gray Gubler. He's the nerdy guy. He's real cute. I had a crush on him even when I was like first watching the show in like middle school. So
that explains how you're stuck with David now.
He is an awful lot like David. And David's mom also loves Criminal Minds, and her favorite character is the what's his name? The big Italian guy.
Jimmy Stromboli. No, what is it? Giuseppe Stromboli.
Joe Montana, and he looks just like David's dad and acts just like David's dad. And so it's very funny that her and I both love this show, and she's like, I just love that Joe Montana. And if you put a picture of him next to David's dad, you're like, oh yeah, I get it.
Isn't the one tweet Giuseppe Stromboli for Harry Potter? It's like Giuseppe Stromboli in the Never Ending Pasta Bowl or something.
So something like that, where it was like somebody tweeted like JK Rowling has
but
announced
not really. It's
that
fake.
has announced that Harry Potter will be rewritten as Giuseppe Stromboli, and then they have a fake DM from JK Rowling that's like, fucking delete your tweet.
He's like, I'm not doing. Also, Hagrid is pansexual now.
Yeah, Hagrid is pan now.
Oh, it's so funny. I do really like that too. Some good tweets out there. I'm going to the baseball game tonight, but it's in Oakland is the problem.
Oh, dear. This There's some baseball games here this weekend. And you know what? The weather is absolutely perfect here right now. It's like 75, no humidity. There's a breeze. It's just beautiful. It's been a little too hot here the past few weeks. And this is like perfect weather. So I worked outside all day today and then went for a nice walk. And now we're going on this double date. We're going to this, it's like a brewery, but it's in... you were there. It's the one with the big games. The giant,
versions. That was fun, yeah.
Of yard games.
I'd like to point out I was the most successful at the giant cornhole.
Yeah. It feels like a good spot for like a double date, because then if like you can eat and drink, and then if you don't find more things to talk about, you can just play the games, and it's fun.
I just think it's weird that if you and David were going to hook up with another couple, it's not me and Chris. Like, what's that
about? Is that
about?
Weird? Hmm.
We would have come out there. It's fine. Whatever. Enjoy your sex with strangers.
We're not having sex with them. The girl is from my string quartet, and like the other two people in the quartet left before her this past week when we were practicing. And I was just like, because she was talking about how she needs, like, she's trying to make more friends and whatever. And I was just like, me too. And I was like, do you just want to hang out? Like, should we just like set a time and do it and like hang out? And so, yeah. So she texted me this week. She was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do a double date.
So what you're saying is you noticed each other's vibes and just wondered if you could buy each other a drink.
I think we're both like expats. We're both new to Denver and live with a partner. And so we're both trying to make more girl friends. This is like a valuable thing to have, is a female friendship. And so we're doing a double date first, and then we might try to do like a girls' night and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm excited. I need some friends here. Like, I don't need my, you know, I got my like tight circle of best friends, and like, I don't need my like friends in the same town to necessarily be my best friends, but I would like to have like a group of friends in the same town as me that I can go hang out with. Like, that would be nice.
It just feels like an attack on me. I haven't made any friends here because I kept saying, no, no, I'm friends with Becca and David. I'm good. I'm full up on friends. And people understand. Like, once they hear the podcast, like, oh, I get it. I can hear it.
Yeah. We're such close friends.
All the times we say, you know, shut the fuck up. I hate you.
Yeah.
If you died, no one would care.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yep. Like, that's how you can tell. That's foundational friendship stuff.
A fun thing that happened this week, Monday morning, I was having my little coffee, 7:30 a.m. And, my best friend from high school, her name is Riley, texted me and was just like, so she lives in Michigan still. And she was just like, hey, you got plans tonight? And I was just like, what?
Just answer the question, please.
Yeah, it turns out she got like last minute tickets to some show at Red Rocks that's Tuesday night, and got like a really cheap Spirit flight. And so we hung out Monday night. We went out drinking and just kind of popped around the town, you know. And then she stayed the night, and I had to drive her to her brother's apartment at 5 a.m., which was just rough because her brother, like, has to leave early for work, but she needed to be able to get into his apartment before he left for work. So it was like, that was a rough drive. But then I was just up, you know. Sometimes when you're up that early, it's kind of nice. You get a lot done. The day feels so much longer. I did need a nap in the middle of the day, though, on Tuesday.
I have been trying to nap because I've been pretty tired lately, and it just never works. I just lay there and I go, I wish I was asleep. It's not great.
I've been watching this, working my way through this master class. David got me a master class subscription for my birthday. And there's one about sleep, which is really fascinating. Apparently I'm bad at sleeping. But I have really noticed
a lot of things, though.
I have really noticed, like, my focus and my mood is so much better if I don't drink during the week. If I just have, you know, a sparkling water or something before bed.
Do you ever wear your watch when you sleep?
No, I don't. Because
one of the reasons I stopped drinking so much, which I never was drinking a ton, but I don't drink very much, is because I see my heart rate on the nights that I have even just one drink, just like maybe a gin and tonic with dinner. And then I see my heart rate is like 15 to 20 points higher or whatever, beats per minute higher. And I go, okay, that seems bad.
Yeah. It's what it is that when, so alcohol is a sedative, so it makes you feel sleepy, but it's just sedating you. So if you fall asleep, like, after having a drink, you're not actually asleep, like, necessarily. You kind of are, but your brain isn't fully asleep. You're just kind of sedated. So that's why you're more likely to, like, wake up throughout the night, because you're sleeping a lot lighter. You don't feel rested when you wake up. And, because your heart rate is higher because you're not actually sleeping. You're just lightly sedated. So it doesn't really sedated. It really only starts to track after like three drinks for most people. Like one drink isn't gonna necessarily have that effect unless you're having it like right before you go to sleep. It's kind of what the studies found.
No, I'm not usually. It's almost always like I'll have a drink while I'm cooking dinner, just several hours before bed.
Yeah, that's what I do. I've stopped drinking before bed. It's if I have a drink, it's with dinner, and then I don't really drink before bed.
The smart thing to do is drink right when you wake up, and then by the time you're going to sleep, you're done.
It's like it never happened.
Yeah.
The other thing he talks about, is the half-life of caffeine. So caffeine has a half-life of like 4 hours. So if you have a cup of coffee at noon and then try to go to bed at 10, it is like the same as if you had, what, like a third of a cup of coffee right before going to bed at 10. So that also, even if you fall asleep, it affects like how deeply you sleep. So I've been trying to not have that second cup of coffee, or if I do, I have it like before noon. And that's been helping as well. I've just been feeling a lot more awake, which has been nice. But yeah, so that was fun. I got to see a friend this week. We got this double date this weekend. Tomorrow we're going to a rock climbing class. I've never top roped before, so we're gonna do a class. David's done it before, and he wants to
see David as a top roper.
Okay.
What? Why did you breathe like that?
So we're gonna go to this gym for climbing, and then we're gonna deliver some. There's a like Islamic center in Denver that's trying to get donations for some of the refugees coming from Afghanistan, because there's a good number of them that are gonna be being settled in this area. So we're gonna go to Costco early tomorrow morning and get a bunch of stuff, and then bring it to the center. They need like diapers and household stuff and things like that, so that these like apartments can be like move-in ready when people get there and have all the supplies they need. So we're gonna do that tomorrow as well, and then doing nothing on Sunday, which will be really nice.
Even that seems like too much, though, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right.
I think once my scooter is repaired, I'm going to start volunteering with the food bank here, because I already donate to them, but I'd like to go, I don't know, help pack boxes or deliver stuff or whatever. So,
yep, that exists here as well. I emailed them and asked, and they said they were good on volunteers for now, and they just needed donations. So their like volunteer slots were all full. So we're going to do this instead. This seems like it'll be nice and, you know, helpful.
I hope we do some posts. I don't know. Mm. Like, what if we just didn't? What would happen?
That's a good question.
Like, who's gonna call us up and be like, "Hey, noticed you didn't do any posts."
Did we not do any posts? Oh no, it was the New Year's episode. We did a drinking game, right?
I don't remember.
The asshole drinking game? Yes, that's what we did.
We still did posts, but like,
right? But
there was a game with it.
There were rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only time we haven't done any posts in an episode was the one called, it was the one where you were talking about all your issues and I just kind of nodded. I'm straight up not having a good time.
I thought we still did posts in that episode. I think we did.
Did we?
I ranted for like the first 30 minutes and then.
And then we did like one post and then we both cried for 10 minutes and then that was it. Yeah. That was the show.
Never talked about it
again. That's our most listened to episode. People just like to hear us cry. I don't get it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm going to read this post because it sounds fascinating. I haven't read it yet. I read the title and thought, oh, boy. So it says, "Am I the asshole for refusing to be a surrogate for my sister-in-law because of vanity? I, 25, female, used to be so close with my sister-in-law. My brother and I were close growing up, and when he started dating and eventually met his now wife almost 6 years ago, I was thrilled because she is an amazing woman who brings out the best in him. She has supported me in coming out to my family as a lesbian, first being the first to proudly display her support, and she makes my brother happier than I've ever seen him. I can say all of this because of the turn of events have left me entirely distressed. For the past 3 years after they got married, they've been trying to get pregnant. They got some medical procedures done and eventually learned that one of them is infertile. I'm not going to say who to give them some privacy. Since then, they have been looking into alternatives. One of them was surrogacy. Last month, I was on a call with my brother and his wife when they started to very subtly hint that surrogacy is expensive. They were sure they wanted a biological child to be related to at least one of them. My brother suggested that maybe they could find someone within the family willing to volunteer. I wished them luck."
Yeah, that sounds like you could really use that. Good luck.
That sounds hard, but
fair enough.
Fair enough. They both kind of stared at me and then it clicked. I immediately said I would not be their surrogate. I loved them and felt for them, but I was not going to get pregnant ever. They seemed disappointed but moved on. Ever since then, they have been bugging me, dropping hints, but I've always disengaged or cut them off sharply on the topic. 3 days ago, my sister-in-law and I went to our downtown area for book shopping, and I made it clear to her I would not be discussing surrogacy with her or I would leave. We passed by a clothing shop with a toddler mannequin and she broke down and eventually snapped at me. Why wouldn't I do this one thing for her and my brother? This one thing.
One weird trick.
Yeah. This is where I may be the asshole. I have low self-confidence and hate how I look. I always have. I'm on the curvy side of body shaping, leaning towards heavier build, and I hate it. I've never felt beautiful in my life. Oh, no. I know pregnancy absolutely destroys women's bodies, and I am only barely beginning to feel good when I see my reflection. I know that a pregnancy would absolutely destroy that. I lost my temper when she started begging and yelled at her that I would not be destroying my self-confidence for her and my brother, and I stormed off. We drove in separate cars. I feel bad because I know they really want a family, and I do love my sister-in-law, but I just cannot do this for them. They have been calling and texting, but I haven't answered. There are other reasons, but this is a big one, and what I said specifically in this situation, am I the asshole?" So there are some edits.
But... yeah, I would read the edits.
Okay. Edit. Okay, because I saw this in the comments a couple times, realized how gross this sounded without clarification. My brother is the one who cannot have children. Sister-in-law is worried about how my brother would feel if she got pregnant by another man because he was cheated on by a previous flame. It was a big thing that nearly destroyed him until he met my sister-in-law, and he has admitted in the past that he could not handle it if she was carrying another man's child. Saying that makes me realize that they sound even more asshole-ish. I will be speaking to them after I have a few more days to calm down and gather some research, and then speaking to them about this. I will make sure to include laws and details about surrogacy, and I will tell them I'm willing to help them look into adoption, but after the harassment, I do not think I would be a good person for a character witness if they chose to go that route. No matter how this talk goes, I'll be taking a step back from my relationship with them. Thank you all for the prompt advice and support. This is sad. This is sad all around.
It is a very sad story, yeah.
Not the asshole. Definitely no. not. Especially no, after that so. Edit. And knowing that it's not that the wife cannot biologically carry a child. It's that he doesn't want to see his wife pregnant with someone else's child. And it's not even that she would have sex with someone else. It's that it would be a sperm donor, like, implanted. It's like...
Yeah,
and he just can't handle that, and that seems like that's his issue, not yours. That seems
like something they should probably talk about. Yeah. I wonder how old the brother and the sister-in-law are. It doesn't say.
Yeah, also, there's an important thing here. Professional agencies won't even let you do it. They want surrogates to have already given birth before, because only those women really understand the commitment being made. This is important. I get sometimes like targeted ads like, sell us your eggs, because if you have like a master's degree or like a good job, or I think like some of them are targeting like people who shop on certain sites and therefore like have certain income levels, they're hungry for your eggs.
Mm-hmm. They're going to make an omelet.
Yeah. And so I also sometimes get ads of like, be a surrogate and... It pays well. I will give you that. It pays like $75,000. But it does say you have to have given birth before, because they don't want someone who's not been pregnant before to sign up for this and just be like, yeah, it sounds like
you don't know how you're going to handle that.
You don't realize what your body's going to go through. Like $75,000 sounds like a great deal, but you might have a really rough pregnancy and then... It's not going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can just walk into a fertility clinic and be like, I want to put someone else's seed into my wife's egg and then put that into my sister. Can you do that for us?
Yeah. How do we make this happen? I'm not sleeping with my sister.
You have to get lawyers involved and it's a whole thing. But even that, like, you don't owe them anything. Even if they both were infertile, you don't owe them anything.
A child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot to put your body through. Like, mm-hmm. It's a lot to even ask somebody to do. It's a big question, but reading the comments and how, I guess, the surrogacy or alternatives were the sister-in-law's idea. So not even the brother's idea, but the sister-in-law was like, I want a baby, but he won't let me put one in me. It's just a lot. I don't know. I don't know how you ask somebody and expect them to go through that if, like, they've never had kids before. And when you could have a baby.
Yeah, it's also complicated to ask someone who's going to be close to the child as they grow up to be the one to carry it and birth it, because that like, you could form a bond with this baby, mm-hmm. and then birth it and be like, you could feel, like, torn that, oh, now you have to give it back, right? Like, that is hard. That's why usually a surrogate is like a hired stranger, because it's like, this is a contract mm-hmm. we are signing. There's no gray area here.
Indecent proposal, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I've never seen that weird movie. I haven't either. This is so weird. It's such a fucked up thing to put on somebody. Like, I can't imagine. I could, you know, not necessarily fucked up for them to ask or to just put it out there. But as soon as she said no, that should have been it.
It wasn't like, no, but try to convince me. It was no.
Like, no, I don't ever want to be pregnant. And then it should have been like, okay, yeah, no, we realize that's a lot to ask. So we won't.
Yeah, that's
ask
a big
again.
Thing.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Kind of one of those things you would wait for the person to suggest if they're like, oh, we're considering surrogacy, and then the sister was like, I'll be your surrogate. But
if they go like, wow, that sounds really cool, I hope you find somebody.
Yeah, good luck. Like, but also, going with someone in the family doesn't necessarily save you the money, because you still have to go through, you still have to get a lawyer to draw up contracts, and you still have to pay for the actual treatment. Like, I don't know how
you just do it the old fashioned way. You have sex with your brother and produce a child from it.
His boys can't swim.
So the eggs, we have to make the eggs kiss.
You have sex with your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And then sex with a stranger. And then the egg and the sperm will both be up in
there. The three of you have to do it.
Yeah.
You got to have her put her egg in you, and then he's got to put the semen in you. Yeah.
Yep.
We I know a lot about kids and how they're made.
We should go give like a lecture at like a ninth grade biology class or something.
Let's do a lunch and learn at work and be like, it's a secret topic, but then it's just this the whole time. People are like, it's not what I expected, and yet somehow it is what I expected.
Do you imagine if we put a lunch and learn on everyone's calendars that was like secret topic hosted by Becca and Jessica? People would be like, I gotta go just to see what
who knows what it's gonna be. Even better though is we do like a really serious presentation about something like that. I think would like be the Kubernetes. Funniest joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, in our spare time between our jokes.
About LDAP. Oh, man. All right. You want to pick another post?
Yeah, I can do one. Great. I do posts all the time. I'm going to do the first one you sent over because it's a compelling title.
What is it?
This one is, am I the asshole for asking my boyfriend to not read porn around children? And I want to start by saying... It is rated that the poster is the asshole. So yeah. I'm kind of confused. Hello, I need to know if I'm the asshole / overly controlling girlfriend here. So my boyfriend likes to read typically romance / drama novels and especially the steamier kind. I'm talking 50 Shades, but a little less kinky. Like the stuff old ladies read, I think, which is fine. I also really like romantic dramas. He's not a pervert or anything, just mostly a hopeless romantic. What about reading romance and drama novels would make you a pervert?
Like, my boyfriend likes to read steamy romance books. He's not a pervert. Don't worry. No one said he was.
Don't get this in your head. He's not a pervert.
Also, 50 Shades is not that kinky. It's kinky for white middle class ladies.
Yeah.
Like...
Mary Lynch reads that and goes, this is nothing.
No, it's kinky to that audience, but it's not actually that kinky.
Like, it's a bad example of the BDSM relationship is my understanding of it.
Yeah, it's very toxic. It's not actually, like, they don't follow any of the best practices for that kind of relationship at all.
You got to visit BDSM.io to get the latest information.
The rules. Terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So last spring when
he's not a pervert.
He's not a pervert. Yeah, I want to be clear. He's not a pervert. He's
not a pervert.
He's just the most tired he's ever been in his life. Last spring when all of this took place, we met him outside the school where he works. We had plans with his colleague / our mutual friend. I'm going to call him G. Holy fucking shit, it's G. By the way, this is a terribly constructed story. By the way, my boyfriend teaches physics to 12-year-olds. So we're talking middle school children. Anyway, I saw him reading one of his books as he exited the building. Jokingly, I said something like, oof, you don't read that around the kids, do you? To which he just kind of smirked. I didn't think much of it, simply assuming he didn't, and that he was being purposely suspicious for laughs. Flash forward to the same evening. G mentions the same book I saw my boyfriend reading outside the school earlier. I suddenly get suspicious. After some prodding from my side, she said that my boyfriend does read books at his workplace. Not just at school, but in class. Like as he's sitting behind his teacher desk or whatever. In class. We get home and we have an argument. I'm super freaked out. He says it doesn't matter because the kids, don't know. I say it doesn't matter. He's reading explicit sex scenes around children. It's inappropriate. End of story. Except it's not the end of the story. My boyfriend gets really dismissive and avoidant whenever I try to bring this up. He genuinely doesn't seem to care at all. So I've resorted to hiding his books, only the nasty ones, since school is about to start again and he refuses to compromise. He says I'm being dramatic and nosy and that it doesn't concern me. Am I the asshole? Yeah, I think you're the asshole.
He needs to break up with you.
You've got some hang-ups about stuff. Like, what is the worry that one of the kids is going to see him reading a book and be like, they're fucking in that book?
Yeah, He's a grown man. What the fuck? Like, is the fear that, like, a student will see him reading a book, see the title of the book, go get that book, and then see that there's a sex scene in it, and then be like, Mr. Herbert knows about sex. Yeah, like, also, I, as a child in middle school, definitely read books with, like, kinky sex scenes in them. Like, I would be reading the Twilight books in class, and they fuck in those books, so I don't think there's anything weird about this. They have, like, young adult fiction in school libraries that has sex scenes in it. Like,
yeah, we should ban those books. We can have kids knowing about safe sex practices, or that you can have sex for fun.
Somebody says, you're the asshole. 50 Shades But Less Kinky is not porn or erotica.
Yeah. Like, you might as well be reading the Sears catalog. Come on.
So it sounds like he's reading novels that have steamy sex scenes in them, with, like, most novels written for adults do. Like, I haven't read a fiction book recently that didn't have some sort of sex scene in it.
So the poster has another post from 2 months ago also about the boyfriend that I want to read.
Ooh, okay.
This one is, am I the asshole for throwing away my boyfriend's bed sheets? This will be my first post on Reddit, and I will tell you the post was removed because they said it was too much of a debate and not a situation where someone was the asshole or not. But this will be my first post on Reddit, so please bear with me. I feel conflicted, and I don't know how to deal with the situation. I, female 24, recently moved in with my boyfriend, male 27, of 1 year. We're now living together in his apartment, splitting the rent evenly between us. We do not have any financial issues, and I've honestly never been happier in my life.
Except you're here on Reddit to complain about something.
Like, I've never been happier, but I'm that. Really pissed
I've
off
I've never
right
been
now.
Happier, but here's why I fucking hate him.
My boyfriend mentioned how I could give his apartment a glow up, in quotes, if I wanted, which I happily agreed to. He did offer to help, but I declined since he's been super stressed at work lately, and I decided I wanted to do something for him. I also study and work from home, which makes me a bit more flexible compared to him. Anyway, we keep our bedroom door wide open pretty much all the time. We both prefer it that way for ventilation reasons. And when you're standing or sitting outside in the kitchen or living room, you get a very clear view directly into the bedroom, especially our bed. Here's the problem. My boyfriend's bed sheets have literal swastikas on them. Mind you, he's one of the kindest people I've ever met, and there's no doubt in my mind that he doesn't hold any fascist beliefs at all. I've tried to ask him about the bed sheets before, but he simply shrugs it off and says they're his favorite because they feel the best and have a nice color. They're green, his favorite. He says he's had them since his childhood. Now, I don't mind the bed sheets that much in private, and I've slept on them before. I refuse to have sex on them, though. The thought makes me super uncomfortable. But every single time we have guests over, they peek in the bedroom, and I'm forced to explain the situation to them. I hate it. I do not want to have to explain to friends and family why there are swastikas in our bedroom. They're really big, too, not like a tiny, discreet pattern. I usually lie and say we bought them online by accident, like we picked the wrong print or something, and that we kept them because they feel very good, simply because I don't want to throw my boyfriend under the bus and say they're his. To make things even worse, my boyfriend never really has anything to say about it to other people. He's honestly been way too easygoing and unbothered about the entire situation. He's usually very sensible and considerate, but for some reason, he doesn't seem to understand or respect my feelings on the subject at all. So this is where I may have been the asshole. I threw them out while renovating our bedroom, without telling him. I thought he wouldn't notice, but he asked me only a few days later. I awkwardly explained the situation, and he's been pretty down since then. This may sound silly, but I've never seen him hurt before, and we rarely fight. I feel horrible. Is he overreacting, or am I the asshole?
I cannot answer this question without seeing a picture of these
sheets. Yeah, like, what do the sheets actually look like?
I need to know, because there's, like, a similar post where someone was like, would I be the asshole if I burned this quilt my grandma made me? And it's, like, the quilt patches are sewn into that pattern, but it kind of feels like it wasn't, like, maybe they made this pattern and then finished sewing it, and then they were like, that looks like swastikas.
Wait a minute here.
Oh, well. Also, like, the swastika was a symbol before Hitler, and it meant different things. But I just need to know, like,
I want to see the sheets.
Is it like it's accidental patterns? She's saying like they're really big and people see them when they come over. Like, this just didn't need to be a situation. Like, you could have just been like, okay, well, it makes me uncomfortable, so let's go pick out new sheets together. You don't have to, like, get rid of them if they're your favorite sheets from your childhood.
Or dye them or bleach them or something.
Yeah, if he likes the fabric, that's a good idea. Let's just bleach them. Like, oh, he likes green. Just dye the whole thing green. And then it's done. Like, or go pick out new sheets together. And I don't know. It's weird. Also, any man who's sleeping on sheets from his childhood, I have questions.
They just feel good, okay?
Get some nice sheets.
They feel good. There's something about the swastika that just makes it feel better.
I can't answer that without seeing the picture. Yeah. But I just, back to the original post.
I think
this person's a little weird.
I think they're just odd. Like, they seem somewhat repressed with some things. But their Reddit name is Slut for Kakashi. I don't know who Kakashi is, but
I don't know. Can we see what other subreddits they're in?
Not what other subreddits they're in, no.
Well, their comments are pretty downvoted.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks like they're understanding that I like this one. I appreciate your insight, but this sounds horrible to me. I don't like the thought of my future husband getting an erection around kids and being fine with it. Or simply hiding it instead of taking every preventative measure possible to avoid that situation. He's gonna get a boner in front of the kids. He's supposed to be teaching physics, not dick-six.
I feel like he wouldn't be reading it if he was getting off on them, right? Like, I don't think he'd be reading it in school if he was getting a boner. He wouldn't have a job still.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been fired.
Yeah, I don't understand. Gotta be honest.
Somebody said, stop fucking calling it porn. Words have meaning and romance novels are not porn.
We used to have an end cap at Borders of all, like, the monthly Harlequin romance novels. And that's all I can picture is, like, these... They're always the painted covers with, like, the shirtless guy, and it's, like, the rogues.
And the woman has, like, her dress is falling off her
shoulder.
Yeah,
and it's always breezy. Like,
that's exactly the kind of shit he's reading.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever, is bad taste, but, like, it's fine. It's fine. You don't need to take away his shit. She got rid of them. That's so fucked up.
Well, like, and then, so the sheets and the books, she's like, nope, gone. Trash.
And they're
hidden.
Not married. They're not married. You cannot get rid of his things. Those are not your things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're married and his things are your things. You can't just get rid of stuff.
Even once you're married, I feel like you still probably shouldn't just be like, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, people.
All right, let's take a quick break. We got 10 minutes left after this. We need a quick post. We're back. This one has a ton of upvotes, but not a ruling. So I want to read this because it sounds like it's a hit. Am I the asshole for telling my kids why we're getting a divorce?
You can't divorce your kids, man.
Why were you married to your kids in the first place?
Yeah, dude? That should be illegal.
It is illegal. All right. It says, all right, this is messy. Yeah, we can tell. Me and my ex-wife got married at 23, and we have 3 kids. The kids are 17, 15, and 14. Well, they were busy.
This is like a math problem. If those kids are traveling at 30 miles an hour.
One kid left at 1:04 p.m., traveling 35 miles an hour. The second left at 1:15 p.m., traveling 55 miles an hour. At what time will they intersect?
Which Wait, where are they
Somebody
going?
Please tell us.
There's time dilation.
To solve that problem.
The closer they get to the speed of light, the slower relative time is for them.
That's true. We didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. I recently found out my ex-wife has been cheating on me for 3 years. Okay, so she's your ex now, but you recently, so you were still married until you found out she was cheating on you.
That's my assumption, yeah.
Got it. Once I confronted her, she broke down saying that I was never home and always working. That's not a reason. By the way, I worked like that so that she could be a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. Okay. I raised my kids to know that cheating is one of the worst things in the world. If you no longer love someone, break up with them, but don't cheat. Even if you have issues with the relationship, work it out or leave them. Now, before we sat them down, their mother begged me to not to tell them that she cheated. I told her that if they asked, I would not lie. She tried to dance around the whole reason for the divorce, citing adult issues. 14-year-old asked why we were getting a divorce, and I told him flat out she cheated on me for 3 years. The mother burst out crying, and all the kids were immediately angry with her. It's been 3 months, and they still haven't spoken to her, saying she ruined their family and their lives and that she's a cheater and a liar. She's been coming after me online, saying that I'm a bastard and ruined her relationship with her kids. Am I the asshole? Okay. I don't think so.
I don't think he's an
asshole.
I haven't
looked at the comments yet.
I think he has every right to be honest with them and say this is the situation. Yeah, like, you shouldn't cheat. And they shut the thread down because it says, cheating sucks. That's something you can express without calling someone a whore, a piece of shit, etc.
Yeah, no need for that. But, like, what did she think? They were never going to find out? Like, even if they didn't tell them in that conversation, what, the first time they visit with their dad, he's just going to be like, yeah, she cheated. Right? Like, what? Or you just be like, we'll tell you when you're older. But either way, you're not an asshole for telling them.
No, I don't know. I'd want to know. Like, I know why my parents got divorced. It was because of me.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did that to them.
Good. Yeah, she ruined the marriage by cheating on you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he should just be commenting on all there. I'm sure she's blowing him up on Facebook and whatever. You ruined my relationship with my kids. Be like, no, you did that by cheating.
You made that choice, yeah.
You did that.
Some
you don't earn privacy by doing a bad thing, right? Like, you're ashamed
of it.
You
should not have to feel bad about her actions.
You deserve to feel shame because you did a bad thing.
Did she, though? Let me put it to you this way. Did she?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
Yes.
You're right.
If you want to sleep with other people, you simply tell your partner that, and they either say, that's cool, or they say, then we should probably get a divorce.
Here's the thing. No.
What if you got to cheat, but then also had no consequences?
Ooh. I guess sign me up for that. I don't know.
No.
Doesn't really seem like my thing. Not anymore, anyway.
I used to
cheat on people, but it's because I hated myself.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah.
I've never understood, mostly because, like, my attraction to someone is mostly emotional. So
that,
like,
doesn't make sense. You're dead inside.
Oh, okay. So I've never understood, like, wanting to sleep with a stranger. Like, it doesn't.
No, I don't get that either. But to be fair, like, if I really want to talk about it, when I cheated on people, it was because of an emotional attachment to the other person. Like, there was something in the relationship I wasn't getting.
Yeah.
But
I
should have just broken up with them, but I was young
and an asshole. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like to do that after, let's see, they were married at 23, they have a 17-year-old, so they're 40. So they were together for 14 years, and then she started cheating on him. Like, at that point, why wouldn't you just be like, oh, I'm not feeling this anymore?
This has run its course. Yeah.
Like, I know you and David, you don't plan on staying together forever, right? Could you imagine?
What?
I like to say it just kind of matter of fact, like, obviously you would never.
Obviously, right?
I can't. Ugh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh. Sound like Grape Lady.
We are the Grape Lady. Actually, Grape Lady is my mom. She doesn't think it's funny.
I read this article that was like, Grape Lady hates that video. It's like, yeah, of course. But like, she hates that people think it's funny. And it's like,
it is no, funny, it's
fucking
though.
Hilarious.
Like, I don't, I'm not happy she got hurt. Like, she broke her leg or something.
She broke like two ribs or something. Yeah,
I'm not happy about that, but it's still funny.
But the noises she made were objectively funny, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I'm laughing thinking about it.
That's because you're a bad person.
Ooh, I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. That's such a good one. Okay, I know you gotta go, so I guess we can wrap this up. It's a quick episode today, because Becca has her swingers night going on, so...
Nope.
Let's see, next week... we'll still be here. Yeah. The week after, I'll be recording from Ann Arbor.
Oh, shit.
But at any rate, we'll be doing some different recording, and then the week after that, another in-person episode... And I think we'll be able to get Alex on this time. I'm so excited.
Nice.
Is that our only mention of him? I just feel like we have to mention him because this is one of the only things he has in his life.
Well, now we'll find out if he listens to the whole episode.
Yeah. Maybe he only listens until he hears his name. He's like, oh, okay.
Yep. That sounds right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, have a great week, everybody. Or don't.
Yeah, we honestly, we say it, but we don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
Do you mean doing the podcast makes you not want to be alive?
I feel like I can't joke about this because people might not have seen the show and they're going to be like, what's going on?
Like, what's going on in the Unholy Fight? You're going to get a message from your boss be like, hey, some people reached out to me because
they're concerned.
I guess on your podcast you said you don't want to be around anymore. We doing okay?
I'm scared about how much I need wine and popcorn. My teeth are purple. I'm not used to being rich.
I have just this much money and I spend it until it's gone and that's it.
Yep.
That's okay.
All right.
You don't have to have a plan.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.